Hey everyone, this is Carrie with Project Nerd coming to you from the 8th annual Front Range Film Festival here in lovely Longmont, Colorado. And I have my first interview of the day, one of my favorites. We've already been talking about it. I can't wait to watch it. But I've got Sam Martin, right?
Yep.
Got number one, right? He brought How to Love Your Enemy, a restorative justice story.
Nailed it.
All right, 2.5-ish of three. But how you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So talking beforehand, this is your first time to Longmont, or is this now the second time after
this
making
this? This is now
film?
My fourth time to
fourth
Longmont.
Fourth time.
Yeah. Just through filming. So we had, three different shoots here.
Okay.
But I had never heard of Longmont before shooting this documentary here. So it's a great town. I love this place.
How did you hear about Longmont? What brought you here initially? And I think it's going to lend right into the film that you brought or the documentary. Tell us a little bit about how you came to know Longmont.
Yeah, so my co-director, Matt Battaglia, who can't be here, we found out about this topic, restorative justice. We never really heard about it before, but our organization, Free the People, we do documentary film projects on mostly concentrating on individuals and communities that make a difference.
Okay.
So it's about individual liberty and personal responsibility and really communities coming together to solve a problem in their communities. Without the government necessarily needing to be involved or any of these other kind of bureaucratic or hierarchical systems.
Right.
So restorative justice was this perfect topic that we found out about. So we were connected with Michael, who's the head of this, the National Restorative Justice Organization, basically. He connected us with Mike Butler, who is the police chief here in town. He connected us with Kathleen McGoy, who's the director of the Longmont Community Justice Partnership in Longmont. So so the reason we chose Longmont was restorative justice is actually integrated into the law here. And that's not the case in other places. It's usually just a nonprofit, and they try to kind of assist in the criminal justice system in their communities, but they don't have any public funding or anything like that. But in Colorado, it's a very different story. It's actually part of the law, and police officers can refer different, different cases to the restorative justice track instead of the typical criminal justice.
Right, route. Right.
So it's two very different things, but it's a really cool system here where if it's usually lower level crimes, misdemeanors or burglary or different things like that that aren't necessarily the higher level, murder, rape, but it's these, a lot of times it's kids that have made a mistake. They, they stole something from a grocery store, and if they went through the criminal justice system, it could ruin their life. They potentially could become, a hardened criminal and reoffend, and the recidivism rates are terrible in the typical system, jail system, so they can go through, the police officer can send them through this restorative justice route. And it's a way of responsible parties being able to take responsibility for what they've done and to face the harmed party and say, I'm sorry, basically. And there's community members involved, and there's the police officers involved, and there's facilitators. And you are, as the responsible party, you have to face all these different people in your community. You have to basically say, I've done this thing and I'm sorry about it. And here are the different things that I can do to make this right, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a complete change from the typical criminal justice system.
Well, I really appreciate it. For those of you that have watched the videos before, we interviewed Edwin Waters and we talked a little bit about a restorative justice, but not in the detail that you provided. So I really appreciate the explanation. And I think there's a lot of good information. So let's take that apart a little bit and break it down. I think for me, the first thing that I always look at is, how did you get involved? Like you talk about Longmont coming out here and all the various different opportunities that we have in this state, and more importantly, the city for it. But how did you get engaged with this topic?
Yeah. It's actually a personal thing for me. There's a lot of different kind of avenues through which I got involved in it. But I guess the most personal thing is my cousin is actually in prison right now.
Okay.
And I won't go into detail about why that happened.
Right.
And there are certain, there's certain ways in which he maybe should be in jail. He did some stuff that wasn't great, and he hurt some people. But I visited him, and it's, he's not getting better.
Right.
You know, he's not helping himself, and it's not helping anybody else. And so you gotta just see, like, when you're out of jail and you're looking through, you know, 3 feet of whatever, the plastic, yeah, or something, and it's just these horribly enclosed rooms, and you know, he's not being rehabilitated.
Right.
So it makes you think, like, there's gotta be another way of doing this. Mm-hmm. Like, this doesn't make any sense that we're putting people through this system. They're not getting better. The harm parties, the victims, are not really getting better. They think they are, because
right,
it's kind of like, great, you know, this person's a menace to society, they're put away, but they're not actually healed or made whole by it. They really have no place in the system. And that's one thing that restorative justice does. It's a victim-focused system. In our typical system, the victim is really shut out of the process.
Right.
Basically, like, their lawyer takes over or whoever, but they are not, the criminal pays the state, basically. They don't pay the victim.
Right.
Which the whole thing is backwards. And then us taxpayers, we foot the bill for them being in prison, and, mm-hmm, and it's really not a victim-centered system.
Well, it seems like, and by all means, please correct me, because I want to make sure that from the standpoint of what I understand it as, or yeah, maybe my own opinion, but I think as a society, we like the idea of somebody being behind bars.
Right.
It's the idea that as a community member,
yeah,
I'm not in fear, but I'm not the victim,
yeah,
right? The victim continues to live through that traumatic experience over and over and over again,
yeah,
even though the person that committed that act is in prison.
Right.
And it seems like that's kind of lining up to what you're saying. And I think that's what I appreciated about the idea of restorative justice, is this idea not only of the victim,
right,
but also the victim's family.
Right.
You know, the ability to bring their whole support system in place,
yeah,
to make sure that they get the information, the help, the healing they need.
Yes.
Is that kind of how you see it as well, or how through the documentary,
yes,
things kind of unfolded?
Yeah, that's exactly how I see it. There's an incredible healing that happens with everybody, the families that are involved. I mean, you see it, so there, I don't know how much you know about restorative,
right,
justice, but there are these circles, basically. They're called the community sentencing circles. That's not actually what they're called anymore. Group circles, basically,
okay,
where you bring together everybody. You bring together community members, harmed and responsible parties, facilitators who basically facilitate the talk, the conversation between the two. The police officer is there, probably missing community members. There's, I think, one other, I'm forgetting where that is,
yeah,
but so they come together, and they're, through these conversations that happen, there's an incredible amount of healing that happens with each individual.
Right.
Because they
not see, even the intended party, right?
Not even the intended
it's
party.
Everybody engaged,
yeah,
in this process is getting something out of the experience.
Right. Because they see the transformation that's happening. A lot of times, you know, through our interviews and stuff, the responsible party would kind of come in, even just with the body language,
yeah,
hunched over,
yeah,
and kind of hiding a lot. And then through this process of basically apology and forgiveness, they come to this, they become new people,
yeah,
and they realize, I'm not defined by this crime. I can say I'm sorry, and if I'm forgiven by the person I did this crime to, I don't have to live with this for the rest of,
yeah,
my life. And if I fulfill all the things on my contract, this thing's not on my record.
Right.
So you are literally, it's redemption.
But you've got the support, and I think from a, I guess maybe a bias standpoint,
yeah,
in a way of, when you watch these things, whether film, TV, news, whatever vehicle you look at,
yeah,
you always have that question mark of, why did this person do what they did?
Right.
Right. You may not be able to prevent what led up to them doing it,
right,
but you give them an opportunity to say, listen, we understand,
yeah,
but more importantly, we're here, and you don't have to, you know, bear this guilt yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
We're all taking it off of your shoulders.
Yeah.
We're all here saying, we understand, and we're here. And not only from the support of the community, but the support of the victim. Do you see that a lot? And maybe this is more for a different conversation, but I'm interested to hear your experience with the victim,
yeah,
right? Do you see that in the examples or in the these circles that you're referring to, mm-hmm. did you see the victim start to shed some of their pain and kind of welcome in the person that committed the act? Or was it kind of more the community was there, the support was there, and it was more of a group versus a singular kind of healing?
Definitely, yeah. And it's like with anything, it's a process. And these things, and we weren't able to actually see the entire process. We were able to get like kind of little snippets of circles, but it's a very private thing.
Right.
And they don't especially want a bunch of cameras coming in.
I was interested, like, how, like, that all, like, yeah come on in, film right. us, like, crying and being vulnerable.
Yeah, no, it's not, that was our first kind of hurdle we got over. Because originally we wanted to film an entire, basically the entire thing.
From start to finish.
From start to finish. And that's almost impossible to do.
Right.
That's what we found out very quickly. But yeah, to answer your question, yes, there's a transformation that happens in the victim as well. And I think at first the walls are up, and you, as the victim, you want the responsible party to pay for it, just like anyone would.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you want them to go to jail, or you want something to happen. But over time, there's something that happens when you have to face somebody.
Yeah.
And you're not separated from them, and you have to look them in the eye. And when you were able to see, just as human beings, you have to see when somebody's sorry, right? When somebody's truly sorry. And I think that process happens over time. And then you hear, you know, there are the other people in the circle are can be parents of the different members. And so they can kind of advocate for and also question you know, maybe their son or their daughter. So you get other people's perspective on who this person is, and you start to see them as a whole person and not just somebody who committed this one stupid crime.
Yeah, I think that was my main thing, and I appreciate the way you explained it. I think your words are a lot better than mine, because you have a passion for it, both personally as well as, you know, professionally in this regard. What I think is very interesting is when we're consumed by media and we're consumed with so many things changing so frequently that you don't have the opportunity to know that person.
Yes.
It's a number, it's a case, it's a situation where, oh, this person did that, they should go to jail.
Yeah.
You don't get to know them as a person. And I think that's what I was fascinated by initially with this concept. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a mediation. Like, you're forced to be in a room together.
Yes.
Now, you can, as either side, take the chance to just sit there and do nothing.
Yeah.
And everybody can do that. Or you can take that moment and sit across and try to understand and get to know the other person, whether victim, attacker, or vice versa.
Yeah.
I think that's what I was so fascinated by, this idea is to sit down in front of someone that has traumatized you.
Mm-hmm.
One, what does it take to get to that point?
Right.
That's insane to me.
Right.
You know, because I think for you, for me, I've never been in that situation. So, but I think the biggest thing that I hear, and I consistently preach now as an older person, is character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the people that have true character are the ones that are more receptive to this type of justice, or more importantly, this restoration of two parties.
Right.
And more importantly from that, everybody surrounding that. So I'm really engaged with this process. I'm really excited to watch it.
Yeah.
But I want to kind of go back to something as well. So if I understood you right, you talked about Free the People.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about Free the People. What is that? What is that whole, is it an organization, or is that kind of a social process that you're trying to incorporate? Tell me a little bit more about that piece.
Can I throw in one point about
Absolutely.
What you just said first? One criticism of restorative justice is that it's soft on crime, basically.
Okay.
So exactly what you were saying, like, the thing that I was finding talking to different people, it takes a lot of courage to go into something like this. It's actually much harder than the typical system.
That's a great word. I can say character, but it really
character
is courage,
too. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
You have to go in brave.
You
have to face your offender, or you have to face the person that you offended. And you have to go, and these are long conversations that last over a few weeks sometimes, sometimes longer. It's very difficult. It's much harder to do that. And then these contracts that these responsible parties have to go through are long and difficult. It's not just like, you know, like a month of community service.
Right.
It's a lot of different things. And then The other cool thing about it is it's tailored to the person. So they'll get to know you and be like, if the person's an artist, draw this person, paint this person a picture, basically, okay, about what you did. Then that's just one thing. Right. But there's like, there'll be community service involved. There's all these different, it's tailored to that person. So it's a very difficult thing to do. It takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. You really have to have a lot of courage and really be in it for the long haul to do something like this.
And so, let me clarify, when you say you, who are you referring to?
The responsible party. Actually, everybody.
Right.
But the harmed and responsible party, because you have to, it takes a really long time. Like I said, just the emotional courage to be able to face this person is really hard. And to have a conversation with them, have many, many, many conversations with them, and then to be able to go through this whole process until it's done. This is like, it's like doing your own kind of emotional work. That's hard for us. That's, a lot of times it's harder than going and sitting in a cell.
Well, it's like you're saying though, it's not just saying you're sorry.
Yeah.
I think we put too much focus on words,
yeah,
right? As we're talking, right? It's, hey, we're putting focus on words. But when you put those words to action, that's always what I look at as being brave and having the character to say, I faced you once.
Yeah.
I've got to continue facing you. I've got to have you consistently in my life until this process is complete, mm-hmm, right? It's not just, I'm going to say I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and walk away. I'm going to fulfill my legal obligation.
Right.
It's, this is a partnership.
Yeah.
This is us working together with the support of our community, our families, our friends, whatever that case is, to continue to navigate through this horrible tragedy, but make it positive.
Right.
And I think we don't see that enough. You know, we're more than happy to throw people away because we feel good about it.
Yeah.
We know we're safe, but you're not. And it goes back to the rehabilitation. What happens when they come out?
Yeah.
Right. We're no longer safe. But focusing on the positive aspect and the ability to rehabilitate two parties in a community, I think is what's really interesting.
Totally.
And I'm really glad you explained that, because I was really, you can't get that when you look at a piece of paper.
Right.
You can't get that when you go and type in what's restorative justice, right? You have to have the passion and the personal story behind it. So Sam, I really appreciate you explaining it. Hopefully you guys, I'm sorry, we've been looking at each other. It's hard not to with these eyes. I hope you can see it. I hope in high definition they show, but the story and what you're trying to get accomplished. Yeah. So my last question for you, and then you got to get out of here and show this film, and I can't wait to watch it. Mm-hmm. But tell us a little bit about what you want out of this documentary. What are you wanting people to not only see and do, more so a call of action? Is that the goal? Is a call to action, or is it more educational? So while you have a moment, why don't you kind of talk us through what you want people to get out of your documentary?
I think it's kind of, it's what we want with all of our projects at Free the People. So like I said, we're really about individual empowerment and community empowerment. What can you do in your own community to make a difference? And there are a lot of different things you can do. And I think in this time of, we're very divided right now, this is something that everyone says, it feels that way at least.
Right.
But when you take a, when you shoot a documentary like this, you realize that we're much less divided than we think we are. And our communities can really come together to create huge change. And that's what we love about restorative justice. It empowers the individual, it empowers community members, it empowers police officers, it empowers every single person in the circle to take responsibility for the justice system in their city. Usually we're all separated from that.
Right.
You know, we don't want to be a part of it, but we're not allowed to do that anymore, you know? And that's what we should be focusing on. So I think what I'm hoping for this documentary is that people see this and they're like, I want to do that in my city. You know, I want to reintegrate offenders into society. I want to believe in redemption. I want to believe that people can change.
Yeah.
And I think that's why restorative justice is kind of a beautiful topic. And I hope that people can see it and see how it's done in this town as a template for the rest of the country and start to adopt some of these practices into their own towns.
I mean, come on. How much better can you say what he said? But the one word that I want you guys to take away from all of this is the one you said the most, empower. Yep. You have to act locally. We're so much concerned about the global impact and the nationwide impact of what our actions actually do, but it's really local. We start with our community and we build from that. The positivity will spread. And coming from a negative person, it's hard not to be positive after that. But Sam, why don't you give us some details? So this is our housekeeping, right?
Yep.
Where can people go, not only for Free the People, which I think is a great opportunity, but also the film, the documentary, and also what you're working on next.
Yeah, so just go to freethepeople.org to see all of our projects, and we've got the trailer up there. We have not released the full-length documentary yet. We're doing the festival route first. But you can go to youtube.com/freethepeople and see the trailer there. And let's see, twitter.com/freethepeople and instagram.com/freethepeople.
And all of that's going to be down here or up here or in the middle, or as I always say, it's underneath all the different titles. But please, I cannot express this enough. This is a great opportunity to learn about an amazing, different program that most of us have never had exposure to. But luckily for us in Colorado, it is statewide, but you have an opportunity locally to explore it and see if it works for your organization and, more importantly, your community. So keep in touch. Free the People. Everything else is going to be up here. Until next time, this is Kerry coming to you from the 8th annual Front Range Film Festival here in Longmont, Colorado. And already, I'm having a blast. Until then, we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Wow. Thanks, man.
Amazing job.